And this is A Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott alongside Jim Burris. 2 weeks ago, little was known about Rachel Dolezal, at least on a national level. Now, Dolezal, who was the president of the Spokane, Washington chapter of the NAACP, she has now resigned. She's also a part-time professor at Eastern Washington University. Well, she was at the core of a firestorm, Jim.
And here's the backstory in case you haven't heard it. For years, it appears Rachel Dolezal has identified as African-American and even checked off that designation on employment forms. She's been heavily involved in civil and social justice issues. Well, now Dolezal's parents have come forward and revealed that their daughter is not African-American and claim that Rachel is, quote, passing as Black.
Well, Jim, we were expecting a statement from Rachel Dolezal earlier today during an NAACP meeting in Spokane. Well, that was canceled. And as we mentioned, she has now since resigned. And this conversation has had a lot of people talking about racial identification.
What does it mean to be Black? What does it mean to be white?
Absolutely. And join a closer look to talk about what everyone else is saying about this. Emory Professor of Political Science and author Michael Lee Owens and freelance journalist Kirsty York Wooten, whose writing focuses on music and popular culture and also writes about global affairs, Africa, and activism. Thank you both for joining A Closer Look.
Thank you for having us.
Professor Owens, I'll start with you. She did release a statement, and basically, and I'm just going to read a little bit from it. She says that, "I have waited in deference while others express their feelings, beliefs, confusions, and even conclusions absent the full story." And she goes on pretty much to say that she will continue to fight for social causes. Because now that we have a statement, and I don't know if you had a chance to read it, but is this what we really needed to hear in order to fairly assess all of this, Professor Owens? Because there's been so many people that have given their opinions. Did we need to hear from her first to fully assess all of this?
Well, we needed to hear from her to get some sense as to why she did what she did. I mean, that's the real sort of issue here, I think, or at least one of the bigger issues. You know, her statement that she intends to continue to be an ally in the pursuit of racial equity and justice in the United States is, of course, greatly welcomed by all sorts of folks. I think in particular, if she intends to do it as a white woman, it'll be an even stronger statement. And that's one of the criticisms that people had of her, that she was unwilling or didn't desire to just do it as who she really was. I mean, we know that we continue to need strong white allies who are willing to leverage their white privilege, but for the purpose of greater racial justice. And in this case, it didn't quite work out that way, Kirsty, through her misrepresentation of herself as a Black woman.
Kirsty, you stated on social media that as a white person, talking about yourself, who has worked to promote African and African-American organizations and causes, you were embarrassed and angered by this woman's lies and behavior. I want to begin with the first part of that. You said as a white person. Why?
Well, I think that what Rachel did in sort of masquerading, for all intents and purposes, as an African-American woman, she was actually exerting her white privilege. So by exerting her white privilege, she was actually taking the spotlight away from African-American women who have worked sort of namelessly along the journey with different movements, civil rights, things like that. She was exerting her white privilege and taking the spotlight away from them. So that part angered me. I also think that regardless of how she chooses to identify visually on paper, she's again taking opportunities away. If she did indeed receive a scholarship to Howard University based on the check boxes that she put on her application, identifying with different multiracial boxes, I think that does take opportunities away from the other people. So there's the whole part of her, the way she identifies herself, and then there's the whole other question of deception.
I guess I have just a more basic question. Is race something that you can choose?
I think that's a question that's on everybody's mind. I think that identification, self-identification, is probably different than what might be on your birth certificate or whatever. So I think that's where we are right now, is trying to decide this question that she has raised in all of our minds is, can you identify that for yourself?
Professor Owens?
Well, I guess I would say, though, within the American context, though, I mean, we're not supposed to claim to be something that we're not when it comes to race, although trying to really determine what we are becomes part of the challenge. But in the United States, at least there are some sort of basic indicators that people have historically focused on, right? I mean, the idea of whether or not one, in fact, has some sort of genealogical connection to people who had been enslaved Africans, whether one comes from a family or has themselves endured, you know, varieties of degrees of discrimination based on the issue of race, on and on and on. It is sort of, you know, really curious to me, though, because on the other hand, like, Rose knows I like music, and I think about, like, a great song by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, which is called To Be Free to Be Who We Are. And I suspect to some degree Rachel imagined that she was doing that, but you're supposed to do it without deception, and you're supposed to do it without lies, and you're supposed to be free to be who you are without misrepresentations of who you are.
And forgive me for this, because I'm sure I'll get emails, but we're in a society now where it's very important to allow people to identify in their sexual orientation or their gender identification, okay?
And as they claim.
As they claim.
Right.
And even if how they're presenting. So one could argue, well, why can't she present as African American if that's what she wants to be, as we allow with others when it comes to gender identification?
Let's extend this to race.
Christy?
I think that I would be all for her identifying with whatever culture she felt most comfortable with. But I think at a certain point, especially historically, makeup, hairstyles, things like that can be offensive if they become parody or if they harken back to things like blackface, which was used in films, you know, decades and decades
sure.
ago. What is that line where something like that becomes offensive, where the cultural appropriation of African-American hairstyles or even making her skin darker, when does that become as inappropriate and as offensive as something like blackface? I mean, it brings to mind also the criticism that the white rapper from Australia, Iggy Azalea,
sure.
has been going through. You know, she's a white girl from Australia, yet she dresses and appropriates African-American culture. She's not even American, first of all. So there's questions around that, too. At what point does it become parody?
Professor Owens?
Well, I would just sort of echo the points that my colleague is making. I mean, one of the great fears, I think, with anyone who engages in what folks are referring to now as this reverse passing for being black, I mean, one fear, of course, is the fear of cultural appropriation, and we have clear examples of that in this case. But then also the idea of to what degree is she engaging in essence, in racial mimicry, and even some form of minstrelsy, right, becomes problematic. And then ultimately, the degree to which people are made fools. I think that some of the outrage that some African Americans feel around this is that they feel that she in fact duped a lot of people deliberately. Of course, she knew what she was doing, and ultimately made a lot of people to look sort of foolish on some of these questions of what racial identity is or isn't.
And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Emory Professor of Political Science and author Michael Lee Owens, as well as freelance journalist Christy York Wooten, whose writing focuses on music and pop culture of global affairs, Africa, and activism. You know, Rose, we've been hearing this term kind of thrown around, and we struggle to define what it is. So with the question to our guest, numerous articles, conversations about Dolezal have used the term transracial. How do you all define that, and do you think that that's an appropriate term for this conversation?
Start with you, Christy.
I think it's a question as Americans we're going to be asking ourselves. I mean, multiracial, transracial, how you identify yourself on paper versus in your real life. I think that it's something that Rachel Dolezal, her case, has brought to us, and I think we're going to be trying to figure that out for the next few years. And it's really surprising me that this has not sort of blown up in the media before now, especially in a year where we've had so many incidences. You know, the Black Lives Matter campaign on social media, things like that, where we've had opportunities to talk about this and we haven't yet. It's just surprising.
Professor Owens, how do you define transracial?
I don't. I can't quite comprehend what that even means.
We struggled with it.
I'm not joking.
Yeah.
I'm not joking at all. I don't know what that means in this context. But, you know, one of the things that I would say to just sort of add more terms to the conversation is, well, much has been made about the issue, is this just some form of reverse passing? And I was thinking about this over the weekend, and I mean, I think a different term would be, you know, she was engaging in racial bypassing, right? And bypassing expectations and assumptions of being black and expectations and assumptions of behaving blackness. So we have her, you know, bypassing expectations and assumptions of, again, the one-drop rule, bypassing expectations and assumptions related to genealogical connections, to oppression, on and on and on and on. And that to me is a much more interesting and perhaps fruitful conversation than this idea of transracial, since no one can really come to terms with what that actually means.
In January of last year, Eastern Washington University student Lauren Campbell interviewed Rachel Dolezal about racial identity. Here's a clip from that interview where Dolezal is talking about African-American light skin privilege.
So I think that internally, my main struggle is in how to defend what I want to do and who I am to people. And also, I think that because I'm very light-skinned, I think that there's a certain light-skinned privilege that I've noticed with, in terms of discussing things, bringing sides together, so that I feel like some white people approach me as a safe person to talk to about, like, maybe they can, like, glean some ideas, like, oh, would this be okay? Even on campus, like, white professors asking, like, if we did this it's a certain event, like, would this be okay?
In that clip, and Ms. Dolezal is talking about not just being African American, but being an light-skinned African American, which is a whole nother set of issues and historical context. And Professor Owens, when you hear Ms. Dolezal talk about that, what comes to mind for you?
I guess my initial reaction is that, to some degree, of course, she's speaking a truth. That one of the reasons we know historically that people have engaged in some form of reverse passing, if you will, is to actually expose injustices, or to at least put themselves in situations where they're made more aware of injustices. And generally, it's been to identify, you know, interracial injustices. But I guess from her passing experience as a light-skinned black woman, as she would call herself, she is able to identify some moments of intra-racial injustice and inequities. So, you know, I guess she's learned an awful lot about some aspects of black civil society from her experiences, this form of reverse passing.
Christy?
I think in some ways she is an actress sort of acting out what she thinks is this role, rather than genuinely living it. And I think as someone who does not identify as African American, I'm speaking of myself, I think whenever you join someone's cultural identity or struggle or journey, even if you're doing it empathetically from the sidelines or across racial lines, you still can never gain the understanding of the person who is different from you. I mean, I think that's one of the beauties of being human, is because we do all bring different pieces to the cultural table and backgrounds. So I think there's just still so much more to discuss about this whole topic.
Well, let's talk about the discussion then, kind of in the broader sense. What effect does this have? Are we getting closer to conversations we need to have on race and identity in America? Or has this clouded the issue and polarized any kind of progress that we've made?
Go ahead.
You can. Well, one thing that sort of stands out in relation to that question, though, is we should be honest about what's going on here, though. I mean, at heart, this is racial spectacle created by an extreme outlier. So to some degree, this doesn't matter all that much. But the degree to which it does invite people to really question what identity is, not only racial identity, but other identities, I think has its importance. I think also this raises a question for me about, you know, how many whites do we know, right, you, I, and others, who would ever trade their whiteness for blackness? I mean, so it raises all kinds of interesting questions, despite it being a really problematic way of getting to the questions. I hope that makes sense.
It does. But for the broader sense, though, I mean, is this furthering the discussion, or is this a red flag? Is this taking the attention away from what we need to be saying?
Well, it certainly takes away from more important matters. I mean, I'm thinking about just sort of the movement that kind of bills itself as Black Lives Matter. This totally distracts us from many of the most important issues, again, because this is an outlier. It'd be different if suddenly we were presented last week with, say, you know, hundreds of whites who were engaged in this process. But so far, we just have this one. And it is, of course, interesting because, you know, what she was doing is troubling in all kinds of ways. I can imagine it's troubling, of course, for her family, but it's troubling, I would think, historically for some whites as it pertains to this, but definitely with regards to blacks and African Americans being able to speak out on, you know, what does it truly mean to be black in America, particularly in the 21st century?
Christy, we'll give you the last word on this.
Just in closing thoughts, I mean, we're here in Atlanta. We're kind of the city that's too busy to hate is our motto. But I think it's interesting that this did happen in Spokane, Washington, where the African-American population is 2% of the total population. And I think that, you know, moving forward, I think this will open up, make it easier for people to talk about what's out there in terms of how we identify ourselves.
Are you saying that there was, in your opinion, there's no way she would do this in Atlanta?
In most ways, I don't think she could get away with it. But I also think that maybe she was hiding in an area. I don't know her, but maybe that she's hiding in a place that maybe hadn't had as much exposure to these discussions as we have here in Atlanta.
All right. Christy York Wooten, who's a freelance journalist, and Emory Professor of Political Science and author Michael Lee Owens, thank you both for taking the time to talk about this very interesting
conversation.
Yeah.
It's going to keep happening, that's for sure.